Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, the stay-in-place order is in effect, which prevents the unlicensed taxi driver from making an appearance. However, fear not, because the true talent of the Wine Vault is on display as the Triple B and Rob the Wine Guy drink the wonderful 2012 Ferrari Carano Cabernet. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault, and it's a joyous night tonight because, like you all, we are under a shelter-in-place order, which I'm sure we're all enjoying. We don't have
much of a choice
in the matter, but there's always a silver lining, I think, folks. And like for me, the silver lining is the unlicensed taxi driver has to shelter in place, so ergo, he's at home. That means we pull out tastier wine, because also on the show is the Triple B.
Good evening.
I like this. When Scott's not here, we divide the wine by two. But when Scott's here and Becky goes to bed, we divide the wine by two, but it's goats do roam. Or, actually, ever since you started, let's just say, because since you're sitting right there, constructive observations as to our wine number two. They've been so
disgusting for such a long time, guys. So we're going to talk about this at length later. Something that we have noticed and have heard from you all is that there are a lot of new-ish wine drinkers.
There are newish wine
drinkers. And we are so excited that you're listening, and we're so excited to have you. So I don't want to – I told Rob we're not doing any – like inside jokes or anything like that. But something that I had noticed for a very long time is that for the first episode, Rob, Becky, and Scott would drink something horrific, like truly horrific.
That's absurd.
Awful, awful, awful. It would be something that Scott found somewhere.
Well, that's true.
Something that Scott found that he'd never heard of before.
Well, we still have some of those
something
things.
I don't even know. Something that Rob found that he thought would be hilarious. Whatever. Mm. That was our first episode wine. Then I would go to bed.
No.
And then the second episode would be like a $50 bottle of wine every single week.
No, that's being ridiculous.
And when I started noticing it, because sometimes Rob would even wake me up, which is so horrible.
Some of them were $175 a bottle.
But I noticed when we were doing our wine of the year, at the end of the year, all of the wines in the Wall of Fame, which is where we put all of our best wines, only had Scott and Rob's name on them.
Well, that's ridiculous.
So I had like three wines to pick from for my wine of the year.
Point of order, Scott A. isn't here to defend himself. And second, the wine of the year was Martin Ray, Sonoma County, Pinot Noir, which you were on the show for.
Because my vote mattered.
I was going to give it to that anyway.
Uh-huh. Anyways.
None of the wine surrounding that wine did you drink. But
all this to say.
Yes.
We're drinking a nice wine tonight.
We are.
That you can find decently easily.
Oh, yes.
And it's very nice. We have had other years, vintages.
Oh yes.
And so we're excited to share this wine with you.
Other varietals from this winery,
yes,
too.
Yes,
yes. It's one of our favorite wineries, and it's not McManus, even though they're undervalued. And it's not Ravenswood. Who else could it be?
So, first of all, let's say,
nobody.
How much does this wine cost?
It depends on where you're at. Some people can get it under 30.
Okay.
If you're at Costco and whatnot. But most generally, 32, 33, low to mid-30s.
And honestly, before we even take a sip of this, I'm expecting this to be at least, we rank everything on a score of 0 to 100, 100 being the best. Before we even have a sip of this, I am expecting this wine to score, I don't know, probably 88 to 92 is my expectation of this. What would be your expectation?
Well, I would suggest somewhere between an 89 to a 91. Now, I do have wine.com open, and Jeff, the wine expert, has asked me if he can help me find a great wine. Strangely enough, Jeff, first of all, Jeff works 24 hours. In reality, he is a dedicated worker on wine.com, and he always asks the same question, if he can help you find a great wine. So it's like, think how many people go on that website.
Wow.
And Jeff is always there to service everybody, and he always asks them the same thing. It's amazing. It's almost as if he was a robot.
I remember when you first started going on there and you told me that you had chatted with Jeff.
Well.
And I said, no, you chatted with a bot. And you said, no, Becky, he has a name. And guess what?
It's Jeff.
It's a bot.
I don't know that it's... Well, let me just tell you this. When you chat with Jeff, okay, what happens is, because Jeff is a bot, then it switches over to a non-Jeff non-bot. They're like, it's like a warning. We actually have a live one that actually was to talk to Jeff. But Jeff even has a picture. There's a picture of Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
He's a wine expert, sure. Becky, on there. Did you know that James Suckling now is going to be doing virtual tastings on wine.com? I don't know if everybody knows this.
Who is James Suckling?
James Suckling? Well, I guess. My name is James Suckling. I am a wine expert. I did work for the Wine Spectator, but I departed under awkward terms, and now I...
This is probably my least favorite voice that Rob does. Wow. I think it's so creepy. But yes. James Suckling is, he provides a lot of wine reviews.
Sort of.
I don't love his reviews, personally, because he also is a cigar reviewer.
I am, yes.
And I have made this point on previous episodes. I don't know how you can review... with any kind of true skill, cigars and wine. Because
nobody says he does.
I know, but he is, I would say he's world renowned. People all over the world know him.
People know me.
So he's hosting
a virtual wine. In fact, as James Suckling, there's nothing I won't do for a dollar.
And so for that, do they tell you what wines you're tasting and you buy them ahead of time? Is that how it works? Or do you just watch him?
You just watch him. Actually, I got an email from wine.com asking my opinion about
James. Like you could vote? Yes,
and give me my feedback. And they go, are you likely to watch James Suckling?
I would definitely watch.
And I said no. And then
the
question was, why not? And my answer was, because he's no Jeb Dunnock. That was actually my answer on wine.com. And Jeb Dunnock, for those who don't know, is also another wine reviewer who is much better at what he does, and he has much better hair. So, folks, the wine for tonight, we have completely ignored that. We probably would have started drinking it and forgot that we didn't tell you what it was. But the winery is Ferrari Carano. And for those that know the show, they know that we love Ferrari Carano. Never had a bad Ferrari Carano, and that's not a joke. The Merlot, the Fumé Blanc, the whatever the hell that their Italian thing, Siena, and this is their Cabernet, and I've had their Cabernet on several occasions, and I've enjoyed it immensely every time. This is the 2012, though, so it's a few vintages old, actually. And so I pulled it out just to see how a slightly older one was.
Did we get this or did we get the Fumé Blanc with a set of glasses one time?
Fumé Blanc.
Mm-hmm. That was cool.
Yeah.
We were shopping at Jungle Gems?
Yes.
A really cool grocery store about an hour and a half away. And we kind of stumbled upon this like very nice box set.
Yeah. Strange, super nice. Strangely enough, for a little bit more. You can buy James Suckling in a box set. That's how desperate the man is to make a living. That's okay. So, folks, when we come back, we are going to get into the Ferrari Carano 2012 Cabernet. And I'm going to tell you more obtuse things about wine that may or may not be correct here on the Wine Vault.
Folks, there are many ways to enjoy the Wine Vault. The first way is on iTunes. Look for the Wine Vault. Subscribe. Give us 5 stars. Beyond that, we are on Facebook at thewinevault.rs. We are on Twitter at The Wine Vault Podcast, and our website is thewinevault.org. You can also drop us a line at winevault@outlook.com. We'd also like to thank our sponsor, Craig Walters Allstate Insurance, at 740-862-4585. For auto, home, or life, give Craig a call. We'll be right back on The Wine Vault.
And we're back, folks. So the 2012 Ferrari Carano Cabernet Sauvignon. Now this wine particularly is from Alexander Valley. Alexander Valley is in Sonoma County. It is one of the, I would say, the top tier areas in California for Cabernet. Alexander Valley is right there with Napa and many actually the premium areas of Napa. So when you see Alexander Valley, you know you're going to get a good wine. Well, unless it's by Fry Brothers. And then you'll never get a good wine. But aside from Fry Brothers, when you see the AVA, which of Alexander Valley, you know you're going to expect something. Further on Alexander Valley, one thing that we have always observed about the wine, they tend to look a certain way. Darker, okay? Maybe a little more brooding. Not necessarily as jazzy as something perhaps from California, as to say an exuberance of oak or something crazy about it. They tend to be big, lovely, ripe fruit, but more savory fruits than blue and savory fruits than your jammy blackberries and things like that. And they tend to have a wonderful structure to them, but always retaining.
When you say wonderful structure, what do you mean?
Lovely tannin, medium to full-bodied, somewhere in that range, but never becoming over the top. They're always a lovely wine within themselves. Mm-hmm. And by blue fruit, I mean, there is some bouncy fruit up front, but it isn't like California where some can be fruit bombs. Alexander Valleys tend to follow a certain path. And while the fruit might be big, it is more of a savory blue fruit. Big. Blueberry. Blackberry, you might see a sneak bit in there, but it isn't really the prominent amount of the grape. Cassis can be in there as well. But really a lovely, lovely grape. And there are some premium wines from there. Silver Oak. I mean, for those people that are just slightly into wine, Silver Oak has an Alexander Valley. And that's the Silver Oak people know. They have a Napa Valley as well, but the one people know is the Alexander Valley. We've done some premium ones. Let's see, what's it called? Hidden Ridge. That's an expensive one from Alexander Valley. And there's lots of it. It's considered a premium area. And
I was
going
to say, are you going to see more expensive wines from Alexander Valley?
You can. This is the thing. Normally when wines focus on Sonoma and the winery is based in Sonoma, they normally stay in their lanes. You don't normally see one go from Sonoma. Then they have some Napa. Unless they're J-Lore. And that's Paso anyway. But when you are normally a Sonoma producer, you're going to stay in Sonoma for the most part. Mm-hmm. And then your better calves are going to be focused on Alexander Valley. Same thing with Napa. Napa, you don't see them flirting over with Sonoma. I mean, there are some that even blend the two. But what is that one called? BR Cone, BH Cone, I don't know. And they do some Napa-Sonoma blends, but that's kind of weird. And it really isn't what you want. So, yeah, think that. I mean, Silver Oak was unusual, although Silver Oak, I'm thinking about it, they have a big presence in Sonoma because they also own Tuolmie. And Tuolmie is in Russian River, and they do Merlot, and they do some other good stuff. So, this wine, though.
Also, some more questions for you before we get into it. Mm. What kind of oak gang are you going to see?
This is mostly French oak.
Okay.
New.
And so, for newer listeners, what does French oak mean?
Well, it's oak that obviously the tree is grown in France. But the way French oak works, normally it's a little bit more subtle. So, you have American oak, you have French oak, you have Hungarian oak, you have Croatian oak. I mean, those are your predominant ones.
Your main ones you have are American and French.
Normally.
You occasionally see...
Hungarian. Mm-hmm. Croatian is pretty rare, except for Italy and some other places. But French oak normally adds subtlety. You might see a little bit of spice, and you are going to notice the oak, mm-hmm. but it's going to be more of a framing element, a secondary function of the wine. American oak, not to trash American oak, but the problem with it is it often works well in wines that are humongous, like your Harlins or your Screaming Eagles, these big, drippy, big, drippy, inky, fruit bomb Cabernets. And it does well in that because everything is so big and over the top. What the hell's the difference? Throw some charred oak in there. And so when you use American oak, utilize it in more subtle wines, it can overpower.
Something that we've talked about often that I refer to all the time when we think about oaking, oaking is meant to add to the wine, not to cover something in mm-hmm. the wine. And you can add to wine with American oaking. It is much more difficult. I think, for the most part, it is more difficult. French oak adds to the wine. If you're having a lighter bodied wine with an American oak, it is hiding something and it is not going to be good. The other thing that we see with oaking in our really lower level wines are like oak chips and that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is not good.
Oak staves, it's like slats of the barrel, they'll put them in there. This is the thing though, you got to also remember wood. Oak mm-hmm. is obviously wood. New oak, all right? That's going to impart more flavor in the wine from the oak simply because it hasn't been utilized. It has all those, whatever, the goodness in it hasn't been broken down and released into wine yet. So that's going to impart more of that oaky flavor in the wine.
How many times do you think they use wine or use oak?
I don't know. That's something I don't know. Mm-hmm. You could see used oak barrels, but used oak barrels are going to impart less. That's why you might see a mix between new and
yes.
old, because they only want to impart X amount of that oaky flavor. Then they want to have some sound.
We sometimes see like a certain percentage American, a certain percentage French. We see that
you might.
Sometimes too.
I mean, you might. Sometimes it works. Sometimes you have winemakers that are just kind of getting ahead of themselves. They're trying.
I thought you were going to call them slap.
It's what?
Slap
dicks.
Yeah, I thought that's what you were.
For those that are new to the show, I would never use the term slap
yeah,
dick.
Right.
Ever. You act like I'm some sort of rube that would use bad language. I don't use that.
I was just waiting on that word.
Slap
and when you
dick.
Didn't say it, I was like, oh, you skipped over a word that you love to say.
Normally, slap dick. Do you ever think about slap dick?
I don't ever think about it.
No, I'm not.
It's not one of my words.
Slap dick. I mean, you can't. Yeah. I mean.
All right.
Yeah, you slapped it. Well, yeah. I mean, I can think of Jay Lohr, winemaker, as a slapdick, but still, that's okay. There is some slapdick winemaking out there, but sometimes. Well, I have 15% new oak from America, then 42% French. It's like fuck you, buddy. That's stupid. It doesn't need that. You're not smart enough. Your palate isn't refined enough. You're making shit for Mayomi. Fuck you. That's kind of the thing. Here, though, back to the focus on this wine. My first focus is I put more in Becky's glass than mine, and that irks me. Second thing, this looks like an Alexander Valley cab. And why do I say that? It's because of the opaque, borderline black, purple inkiness. Some cabs, you're going to see more of a crimson. Alexander Valley typically has a black, inky look to it. Now,
I love when we pour a cab and it's dark like this, mm-hmm. and it's from Alexander Valley, you're like, oh, this is so exciting,
mm-hmm.
isn't it?
Yeah. Now, not to say that things from Napa don't have an inkiness to it, but those are different.
Mm-hmm.
Your run-of-the-mill, your normal Cabernet from Napa won't necessarily look the same as this, to this degree. But this is really typical of things from Alexander Valley. I don't care if it's Clos du Bois at $17.99. They tend to look like this. But beautiful in the glass. For those new to the show, that's Becky's cell phone. Yeah, I love that.
We're just texting about Schitt's Creek. It's no big deal. I hope that everyone out there watches it.
You're very right there. What, Jampain? I actually wrote a song for the show called Jampain. Don't know why.
It smells so good.
It does. Ugh. Cassis.
Just the oakiness that I am getting on the nose, it just smells so...
Cassis into black licorice. Like rope black licorice.
Yeah. The oakiness, though, is just such like a perfect woodsy smell. It's great. And I don't love oak.
Well, it's all there. I mean, a lot of the sharpness, it's not sharp, but a lot of the punch of the nose is brought forth by the oak.
Yeah.
But it's so well done.
Yeah.
You don't acquaint it to being from oak.
And it has some of like a foresty smell to it in a great way.
Well, this wine has some reviews, Becky. Did you know that?
Oh, by all means. This is something that we love to do, is to read reviews. We'll provide our own at the end. Mm-hmm. But we love reading reviews because the stuff people say is sometimes like they just picked five words and put them in their review.
Well, the first review.
Is it James Suckling?
Thank you very much. Ugh. I gave this wine 97 of my points.
No, he didn't.
And I wrote, this is an outstanding 2012 wine with ripe cassis, black fruits, rich, drippy, elegant,
ew,
seductive notes.
Is that really what?
No,
really
he didn't said. Review.
I was going to vomit.
But he might have.
I was gonna drink about myself.
Or hold. No, actually.
I'm sorry Rob does this voice. Please don't stop listening to
us. Wilfred Wong.
Please keep listening.
Do you think the Pinophile reviewed it?
Go ahead.
Okay.
Next.
Actually, the Robert Parker from Wine Advocate. He's retired, but he gave it.
But say why we like Robert Parker's reviews.
No, I won't. Robert
Parker, for a very long time, did wine reviews. Did they come... They came with a three-hole punch, so you could put them in a binder. He did not sell ads. It wasn't flashy. It was just regular paper reviews.
I liked him because there was an article written by some... she was a journalist. I don't know who she wrote for, but she spoke about... She wrote an article about... And I don't remember what her name was, but it would embarrass her if I knew it. She wrote an article about meeting Robert Parker. And basically, it was a perverted love letter about how he turned her on.
Who?
Now, I don't know that she realized that that's the way it sounded, but she was like, oh my gosh, there's Robert Parker. I mean, it was like, even Scott, well, he's a bit of a degenerate, but he found it to be, oh my gosh. And so that's why, even though Parker has a toupee.
His subscriptions were a little bit expensive too, weren't they?
Well, it was a periodical. I don't know what the hell. I mean... Probably got out of the back of some sort of porn mag.
Rob. But,
I don't recall what it was. I think now it's all online. It's $100 a year. So he wrote, or someone wrote, that was associated with him, this outstanding 2012 Cabernet Sauvignon from Alexander Valley displays classy notes of charcoal, camphor, fuck that is, black currants, licorice, and forest floor.
I knew that.
And licorice, yeah. Full body with sweet tannin. A nicely layered mouthfeel and accessible personality. It spent 16 months in French oak. You can tell that. A component that frames the wine but does not intrude on the aromatics or flavors.
This it's like Robert Parker listened to us and then wrote his review.
Could be. Or we read that and then...
I didn't read it.
I didn't either. But this beauty showcases the high-quality Cabernet that often comes from Alexander Valley. Drink it over the next 10 to 15 years. No, don't do that. Then Wine Spectator, the Tater... They provided it 91 of their points.
And say what we normally think of the spectator.
No.
You often call it the speculator.
Yes.
And why?
I will not.
Why?
I won't. I won't talk. You can't make me. It's like an inquisition, folks. She's so natural. And then say.
Say it.
I won't. I won't say it.
I don't even know why you call it the Speculator.
Because they make shit up. No, the Spectator, part of the problem is they have lots of advertising. And occasionally you'll see a review and you go, because it doesn't relate to the quality of the wine because it's bought and paid for. But that's alleged.
The other thing is,
Scott says that.
We review all kinds of wines. Like, we review wines that we give 50s to.
I gave a niner to something, but I don't know about 50.
We give horrible reviews. In Wine Enthusiast, in Wine, the Wine Spectator, you don't often see wines that are in the 50s and 60s.
Well, they don't publish that.
No. Right. That you are seeing wines that get good reviews. And sometimes those are the ones that have bought ad space. But it is hard because you might be at the store, the grocery store, wherever, buying wine, and a wine doesn't have reviews, and you don't know whether or not you should buy it.
Probably not.
Well, I was going to say.
It doesn't stop Scott. But
it does not.
I think I'll buy it.
Certainly does not.
I think I'll buy that.
Stop Scott.
Sweet beet wine? Well. It's like, what did you buy that? Sweet beet wine.
It's $3.99.
What's it called? It is called sweet beet wine. I was like, beet your what? Hey.
Well, and then the other thing that we see that we've talked about before is you'll see like Sledgehammer, like other wines that we've talked about where it'll say like, oh, $25.99 on sale for $8.99.
I saw something that was regularly $36 on sale for $14.99. It's like, is it?
Yeah.
No, you're not. And then I went to touch it, but I saw the bottle had been turned around. So I went, that means some other fucker had touched it to turn it around. And I'm not going to fall for your coronavirus shit.
Yeah.
But anyway, the Spectator gave
so
it.
So just don't fall for fake sales.
Just don't talk to Scott.
I'm going to buy this because it has a goat on the label.
No. Wine Spectator gave it 91 other points as well. And they said combines a taut, rich core of dense dark berry, earth, cedar, and tobacco flavors with a measure of elegance and finesse that emerges towards the finish. Drink now through 2026, which isn't 10 to 15 years. And you'll find if you read two reviews about the same wine, they have no similarities to one another. And why is that? Because
sometimes people just flip through it.
Because
that is a thesaurus and find some words.
Nah.
What I'm very interested in, though, is Robert Parker's review and how our hours match up, because just off the nose, it seems to be similar.
It's true.
Sometimes reviews, just being really honest, we've talked about this, drive me nuts because you'll smell one or you'll read one and then you'll smell it and it'll be like, oh, the graham cracker nose with the slate and clove finish. And you're like, what?
It smells of rose water.
Yeah. And you're like, no.
Don't you smell the rose water? That's James Suckling. It smells like rose water and blood orange.
It's like rose water and blood orange. That sounds like a rusty hanger smell.
Yes.
Yes.
And as much as the wine guy loves to be pretentious.
Rose water.
You have your limits.
I won't talk about rose water. Who the fuck knows what rose water smells like? I drink it.
We had a rose water candle burning. Smelled delightful.
Yes. It smells of cat urine and rose water.
Yeah. All right. Are we gonna taste it?
We are going to taste it.
Do you want to give a little...
Tastes like Alexander Valley Cabernet.
Do you want to give a little heads up on how we're tasting it?
Yes, we're putting the wine in our mouth and then drinking it. Okay. No, I don't know. This wine is typical of Alexander Valley, it top to bottom. You'd have to have had 10 from Alexander Valley to really see that. And same thing with Sonoma. You're going to see wines of Sonoma, a certain quality level, all right? Good quality level. You're going to see each one showing similar characteristics of similar quality. Now, some wineries, you can't rely on that. But say you go with St. Francis is a good one. Start off with that. St. Francis, there's Sonoma County, Sirius Cabernet. It's going to remind you a little bit of, say, Chateau St. Jean's. Sonoma County, Cabernet. Oh, Chateau Jeans is better, but they're all going to have a little bit similarity. One thing that Sonoma always has, not Alexander Valley, but Sonoma, is an Earl Grey tea finish. It's always on the finish. Mm-hmm. These all tend to have that big cassis up front. It's not brambly, but there is a little bit of a rustic fruit quality to it. Mm-hmm. Slightly cobblerish, like a blue fruit cobbler.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
As a blue fruit cobbler, and they all do that. Mm-hmm. Not sweet by any means. It's not. It doesn't come across as jammy. It's just more brambly and cobbler. And then it has a lovely little expression of tannin.
Can you talk about tannin for a minute? What it is?
Tannin. Mm-hmm. Tannin is a drying sensation in your mouth.
Mm-hmm. And when do you see it?
When do you see it?
Yeah. What wines are you going to have tannins in a Sauvignon Blanc?
Yeah. No, it's red wine specifically.
And does it have to do with
grape skins? I have two word answers to everything she says. You would talk.
Well, these are important questions.
It is.
Does every red wine have tannins?
More or less, yes. To a certain degree. Okay. The answer would be yes. Affirmative.
And is it more tannic the more expensive it is?
Maybe. Depends.
But not necessarily, though.
I've had very tannic wines that were cheap. Mm-hmm. Tastes like shit, but I've had them.
Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of tannins.
I know you are. But then again, you like the J.Lore Hilltop.
Which one?
It tastes like a hobo's butt. The most recent one you bought.
I think it's good.
No, it's not, Scott. Ouch. Hobo's butt.
It's disgusting.
It is, isn't it?
All right.
Now, the one...
You've talked about a blue fruit cobbler, which is spot on. That's exactly what I was going to say.
Yes.
The oaking is strong, but very good.
Well, it's strong, but it's strong through the mid palate into the finish.
And I would say it doesn't overpower. The wine is pretty full bodied, and so the oaking matches it. It is tannic. What else are you going to say?
There is a mid palate, there's a bit of chocolate. Not milk chocolate, a bitter dark chocolate. And normally when you see chocolate, it's going to come across as a slightly creamy mouthfeel. And you're going to notice a baker's chocolate. So we're talking something that lacks any kind of sweetness. I'm not talking about Hershey's Special Dark, which once you've had it a couple times, you're like, yeah, that's milk chocolate. I remember when I was a kid, you'd eat Special Dark and you'd gag. Mm-hmm. Now you didn't go, that's really fucking sweet. You're like, what the hell's going on here? Then you drink the milk chocolate, and you're like, fatty, fatty 2x4. But
I don't want to talk about it. Rob's mom, since we can't be together for Easter, they live pretty much next door, but Rob is an essential worker, and so we're not seeing anyone and all of that.
I'm highly essential, yes.
But anyways, she sent us a tin of Cheryl's cookies for Easter.
She did.
And Cheryl's cookies, if you are not familiar... Their main one is a sugar cookie with buttercream icing.
Where do you our listeners are not in Madagascar, for Christ's sake?
I don't think everyone in the world knows about. I don't know if it's all across the U.S.
Well, okay, let me start off. I'll get a little more basic for people. So, folks, we live on a planet, and we revolve around something called the sun.
Anyway, Cheryl's sugar cookies. Truly melt in your mouth, don't they?
They're fine.
They're so good.
No.
I have celiac, so I'm gluten-free. I don't know the last time I had Cheryl's cookies.
I'm more of a Keebler Elf fan myself.
The fudge stripes?
Well, fudge stripes are good. The fudge ones that look like the elf that have the fudge in the middle?
Oh, yeah.
It's not fudge.
They're kind of like shortbread with like a chocolate ganache thing in the middle.
It is icing. Okay. Slow down. I caught it already fudge. You went, that's bullshit. It's shitty, cheap icing.
I'll get that next time at the grocery store.
It has ganache in the middle. Anyways. It in fact does not.
Anyways.
It has waxy cocoa.
Super cute tin of Cheryl's cookies that are gluten-free. I have had 600 of them today, and I kind of want to puke. So just take it easy on the sweetness.
For shame. But anyway, this has a Baker's Chocolate Mid Palate, which isn't all that unusual. One thing I will say, there is just the smallest bit of heat on the finish.
Oh, tell me about that.
There's just that is it.
Do you mean like a Tabasco, or what do you mean?
I mean a warmth, slightly from the alcohol, slightly, not too bad. But sometimes that will be equated to a flaw. This is so minute. It could be, I'm not sure that it's alcohol heat. I think it also might be just a little bit of a spice from the yolk. Somewhere in that range.
Yeah.
I'm not going to beat it up for that. It just tastes like an Alexander Valley Cabernet. It's just what it tastes like. And I happen to like Alexander Valley Cabernets. Not all the time. Sometimes I feel like something different. But I like it tonight. Probably because I had a Primitivo earlier. So that warmed me up. And now I'm ready to go. Rip-roaring ready to go.
Can I tell a story?
You normally do.
So tonight, I'm working from home. My work team had a happy hour. We logged on like using Microsoft Teams. Everyone had their video on. Everyone had a drink. And I was part of the team that put it together. We had two like vice presidents on the call, a bunch of directors. It was like a lot. It was a fancy people call, but still very casual. Rob was on his way home from work.
Mm.
I had like basically threatened him within an inch of his life of getting home on time because I knew this was a big deal. So Rob, every day when he comes home from work, takes his clothes off in the laundry room and puts on new clothes after he like cleans up. So I warned him, I'm like, Rob, I'm going to be on video. Don't walk past me. I like feel in my mind like I have everything under control. Rob comes home, takes care of all that. And I got a couple of ring notifications on my phone. And it was Rob going outside. And then I hear Rob kind of like running all over the house.
That was Henry going outside.
Okay. Henry going outside. Then Rob comes in. I'm on mute, thank goodness. And he's like, where's William? And William's our middle child.
We couldn't find him.
William's not here.
He's gone.
I laughed so hard because I knew exactly where William was.
No, you did not. You thought he was in Nicaragua. He was hiding right behind that door right there.
He was in the wine bowl.
So Henry's searching for him outside. I'm searching for him inside. And then I finally just see his stupid foot. And he goes, was that a good hiding spot? I said, that's ridiculous. I went, to answer your question, I'm very angry with you. And actually, that was a good hiding spot, but that's really tremendous. Not the point. I said, don't hide. We didn't know where you were. But nevertheless. Okay. But nevertheless, we digress. Folks, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, Becky is going to demand more answers. And I am going to inform her that she can't handle the truth here on the Wine Vault. We're back, folks. So on tonight's potpourri, and before Becky asks me to tell you, the potpourri segment is, it's brought to you by Craig Walters at Allstate Insurance for auto, home, or life. Please give Craig a call. But, and I'm sure Craig is very excited about that because normally on the potpourri, we go off topic and talk about very, very obtuse, sometimes bad things. For instance, tonight, one of the topics I was thinking about was why you shouldn't use a mustache trimmer to cut your hair, as the unlicensed taxi driver has found during his seclusion in quarantine. Actually, at his house, Scott decided, apparently, one day, that it was a good idea for him to give himself a haircut. But Scott doesn't have stainer clippers or scissors. He has a mustache trimmer. Now, Scott does not, in fact, have a mustache, yet he has a mustache trimmer. So apparently he tried to trim up with the mustache trimmers. And Scott's not here to try to lie about this. And so he's out in his garage doing this in the dark. And I like to think that he's sitting there using his mustache trimmers to cut his hair, going, la, 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 like a five-year-old would be if they found lipstick of their mom's and they're smeared all over their face.
Yeah, that's
what Scott was doing. Well, anyway, so Scott, because he's, you know, he should be working in a salon. He cut his hair, kind of. And Scott, if you know his hair, it's, well, it normally is, I don't know, what would you call it? A bouffant style.
No. His hair is a little bit longer. He usually puts product in it.
Oh, he does. He slicks it back. It. Yeah. Oil. A couple quarts. You know, he checks you off. Well, anyway, so Scott's just la, la, la with his mustache trimmer, mind you, which probably dulled and was cutting up his hair. So he gave himself a buzz cut. Now, normally you would say to yourself, okay, he just cut his hair short. He did not. And what he did is the top part of his scalp, that's like an island of short hair, similar to a coonskin cap that Davy Crockett would wear. Other than that, there is no hair. So he has a flap. But it's not solid, mind you, because Scott is balding, like we all are. Right? So is it like
I'm not going bald.
What?
I'm not bald.
Men. Okay. So it's like a spotty, mangy island, okay, of hair, right in the middle. You know, kind of like the Galapagos Islands, okay? And then around that is fairly smooth. Now, mind you, mustache trimmers are designed to trim mustaches. So he might have scraped up and, you know, nicked up his scalp around the sides. So there's signs of trauma all the way around. But he was also doing this in the dark, so it's understandable why. And let's just say the island does not have a smooth border all the way around it. So it's a little jagged. So he looks really good. So that happened. And I'm sure you have some good quarantine stories too, folks, or whatever you'd want to call it. But
I love seeing people's quarantine haircuts. Especially, a lot of women aren't quite there yet, but a lot of men are. Wine guy is not there yet. Your hair actually looks really good.
I know it does. But
we know multiple people that have given themselves the same haircut that Scott has.
I know, but Scott looks like he went back to 1959 in Mississippi and got a haircut. It's like, whew. It's like, are you trying to live out your emotions and your feelings with your haircut? I mean, it makes a statement. This is the thing. He's going out in public looking like that.
He's not. He's staying home.
No. I mean, he's been out, like, outside his house on his steps. And he went to a store. And, well, he maybe wore a hat. And he wore his fedora. It would fit better now since he doesn't have any hair. And for Scott, you don't know that's going to grow back. It took him a lot of years to maintain that comb over a little bit. But yeah, so we know some other people that have done dumb shit like that. Here is a question. Why would you attempt to give yourself a full haircut? I mean, trim around your ears, that's one thing. That's fine. I can do that.
Is that what you're doing?
I always do that, just a little bit.
Well, I know, but are you doing other stuff to your hair right now?
Like what?
I don't know. I just feel like your hair looks really normal for hair places being cut, shot, or whatever, shut down for... You go every 2 weeks-ish?
No, every 6 or 8 weeks. Shit.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so you have time.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I would never get to the point where I would say, I want to make myself look like Scott does.
Wasn't he trying to do a fade?
No.
I think he was.
He was trying to go undercover in a skinhead gang. I mean, I don't know what he was trying to do. I mean,
it's so funny.
I mean, you need to put a fucking squirrel tail on the back of his head to complete the fucking look. His own wife won't look at him.
I know. I see some women doing their hair at home, and I don't know why.
What, were they combing it? I mean, Scott can't comb anything.
No, Scott doesn't mean anything. No, I see women posting about how they're going to have to cut their hair.
You don't have to cut your hair, folks. It'll grow. I know. You don't have to do this.
It's okay. You're not seeing anybody.
No, no. And you know what? Longer hair looks better than Scott. Mm-hmm. I mean.
And if your hair gets really long, you could wear, like, I don't know, a headband and just call it a day. Who cares?
Man, if my hair was looking like Scott, it would almost be an improvement to shave the hair off your ass and glue it to your head.
Disgusting.
I mean, seriously.
Scott's hair would probably be better if he just shaved his head.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That would. Debbie, his wife, we had a like video call with him the other day, and his wife was sitting in the other room.
She won't be able to
sit with him.
There's no excuse.
So funny.
I mean, he does some things for attention. I know this. But I'm not sure that he did that for attention because he didn't know that he wouldn't know that anybody was going to see him.
Do you think by the time that we're back together, his hair will be normal?
No, I don't. I think.
Or do you think it can't go back to
normal? I
don't
think it can go back.
Oh, wow.
If I were him, I would buy so much damn Rogaine right now just to ensure that I would have something grow
we're
back.
We're going to see him wearing a lot of hats, I feel like, when we come out of this.
Yeah. Why do you have a bandana on? Because I'm tough. No. Yeah. I don't know, man. I mean, when I was a kid. See, yeah. I understand Scott's stupidity. Well, not to that level, but I was like, when I was a kid. We're talking like 10 or 11, I don't know what it was. I'm standing there doing something with a razor. I don't know why, because
I feel like little kids find them and do stuff with them.
No, I have my own.
Okay.
I don't know why, but I did. Apparently every 7 years when I need to. Well, anyway, I'm like standing there, and I don't know if my hand got twitchy or whatever. I just like nicked my eyebrow, okay?
Oh, uh-huh.
So I thought I'd even it out.
Oh, God.
Don't do that. And then I went, well, that looks weird. Let me do the other side. So I had half eyebrow on both sides. And, yeah. But I didn't shave my head.
No, you didn't.
No, you didn't. I've always been very, very particular. You go to the hair place and went, would you like me to trim up your eyebrows? No. At Target tonight, trying to pick up a package for my son, which they said they didn't have. And
package for him for school.
School, yes. And she goes, no, we don't have anything under your name. Do you have any other last names? And, you know, it dawned on me, yes, this person that is trying to find my package, she wasn't doing a very good job, but she uses meth judiciously. But I said, nobody has other last names. What the fuck is that? No. Yeah, it's under Durham, but no. I have it. I bought under Smith. Yeah, I have another last name, dumbass.
So that's very nice. I gave the wine guy, I'll Piss have me. All of our listeners at home. No, I gave Rob a lot of grief. These poor people are just trying to do their job.
She wasn't trying.
Rob also is going into work and can sometimes be hysterical about it, and I don't feel like he should be giving them a hard time, even though they were doing a bad job.
Yes, but I know people only have one last name, or maybe a hyphenated, or two, but not, do you have any other last names? Yes. I'm on the lam. The FBI is looking for me. I have 7 different last names. Perhaps it's under one of my aliases, you dumbass.
Okay.
Stupid. Then again, I wasn't going to get coronavirus from her. You might get herpes, but you might not get coronavirus.
Okay.
I mean, it's nasty. Mm-hmm. Target, step up your fucking game. Terrible. Terrible, inexcusable.
Hey.
What? It's true.
Don't put anyone on blast right now.
On blast. Blast. Blast! That's what you get.
Jeez. Woke up the dog.
Yeah, he laid back down. I'll put him on blast, too. Good for nothing.
Bo's had a hard day.
No, he has not.
Yeah.
He has been sleeping in later. It's like, he used to be listening for my alarm. Now it's like it goes off the first time. He's like, no, I'm good.
Yeah. It's so funny. And then I don't want to get out of bed because he'll, like, come in and lay right next to me and go back to sleep. Rob will take him out. I'm like, oh, I can't get out of bed. Bo's laying next to me.
It's only last resort will he get up. He's like, okay, I've got to take a shit,
it's
but
so
I'm not going
to
get
funny.
Up.
And like, what is he going to do when we go back to life and he's getting up? I mean, I get up early normally.
I know. He's not going to like that. I don't know if he likes it now, but he's not going to like that.
So funny. All right. Are you ready to rate and review this wine?
Well, first, though, we have to come back.
Oh, we're going to take a commercial break?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
Where we have me talk about how to rate podcasts.
Okay.
And folks, just to remind you, the best way to promote a podcast is to give them a review. And you'll hear me on this next commercial. You'll say, my gosh, what a gorgeous presentation he just did. I did do a good job. I know this. I always do a good job because I'm fantastic. Triple B knows this, even though she's very coy. She suppresses the knowledge of how fantastic I am very well. Scott's not here, so we don't have to hear that bullshit. What is he off doing? Probably setting fire to something on somebody's lawn, I would think.
Stop.
Possibly.
Stop.
You know, it's just like watching the movie Mississippi Burning and going, I think they got that plot all wrong. You know? Jesus Christ. Dumbass. Scott was at a grocery store. I'm not going to put it on blast, but it's Scott's fault. And he goes, I was talking to the lady that works there that you talked about the podcast. And I said, I've never talked to anybody at that grocery store about anything. In fact, I didn't know that there was a lady that worked in the wine department. He goes, you told, and he's arguing with me about something I never told him. You told me that you told her about the podcast. I went, first of all, I don't know who she is, but I'm sure she thought you were a racist with a Davy Crockett coonskin cap haircut. So I'm doubting she was very impressed. I still don't know what the hell he was talking about. I've never talked to a single person other than the person that sold me my car. Audi of Columbus, by the way. Excellent service. About the podcast. I don't do that because that's lame. Unless it's Becky's coworkers, then I freak her out because she's afraid that I'll talk about it. None of them know what she does in her private life. She lives a double life. Double life.
Just as Scott does.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know. But his other life, you know, normally is under a bed sheet. So, folks,
stop.
We're going to take a break and be right back here. Well, not under a bed sheet anymore, but it used to be a bed sheet. Here on the Wine Vault. Everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. Triple B was singing on mic. I thought I would catch her singing on mic, but she stopped. Damn it. It's always fun to catch somebody with. Normally it's Steve that says something like, and I love dildos, off the mic, and then you come back. I fucked a lobster once. What? But then you get that, and Steve's like, oh, I didn't mean that. You caught that out of context, that you fucked a lobster? No, there's no context to that, Steve. You fucked a lobster, and you said that. I mean, not that Steve has fucked a lobster.
Just saying.
Let me retract that. I don't know that Steve has or hasn't fucked a lobster, but let's just go on the fact that I've never heard him say that on the show. He has said other things, though, that are pretty close to that. So it's possible that he's done that. So the 2012 Ferrari Carano Cabernet Sauvignon from Alexander Valley in California. And I told you Triple B would make me say bad things, and I don't normally do this.
Oh, right.
I don't do it. A good Christian man. That happens to drink a lot. So maybe I'm Catholic and I didn't know.
Something that I am a big fan of with this cab is it has a lot of warmth to it. in the, like, I'm trying to think of the right words, but all I can think of to say is it's almost like a comfort food wine.
Well, no, that's exactly what was in my mind. It's like a meat and potatoes,
yeah,
nicely done Cabernet that you just eat. When you drink it, you go, you know what? That is pleasing. It might not be something where you're going to sit back and go, oh my good Lord, the decanter's going to... Well, the decanter actually has a bad example because the decanter would give anything. They would give, you know, a dirty diaper or a 92. So that would be with a memorial.
It's very well done.
Mm-hmm.
The mouthfeel is very nice. That's something that we haven't touched on yet.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something, and especially with a winery like Ferrari Carano. You're going to get a really nice wine every vintage year.
I've never had a bad one.
Yeah.
I've had this, the 13, the 14, the 15. I think it's pretty comprehensive. And yeah. I might have had the 16 as well.
Yeah. So it's something that it's like putting on, and again, meaning this in the best possible way, but it's like putting on your favorite winter slippers. It's like, oh, this is a great wine every single time I have it. It's a comforting thing, and I'm really glad that you chose this wine tonight, especially as we've talked to others out on the air tonight. We're in shelter in place. It feels like a really stressful time, and it's like there's some consistency in this world. This is a known good wine that we can continue to have, and it's just a treat to have tonight.
Yeah, I know. You have to think of all the positive things. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have a lovely wine tonight. We haven't used a mustache trimmer to try to give ourselves haircuts.
Mm-hmm.
And have to live with those consequences.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knows except for all of you. And I'm glad you know. I'll post pictures of him on the website, I'm sure. Censored, of course.
Of course not.
You have to. This is graphic. Well, he deserves it. He deserves it. He really does. But yes, as Becky said, it is a comfort food. It's a meat and potatoes wine.
Mm-hmm.
If there was any...
It's almost like, I don't like chicken pot pie, but that's like a comfort food.
I know you
love chicken pot pie, but it's like that. It's like the chicken pot pie of wine.
Well, it's a little better than that, but...
No, I mean, but a good one.
I love a chicken pot pie. It's a good chicken pot pie. But chicken pot pie is good. But... Oh, man. No, I'm drooling. Although I haven't had one in a long time. It's not particularly keto. Maybe high in carbs. I don't eat that. But to suggest that would suggest that it's simplistic. And I wouldn't say this one is simplistic, although it doesn't necessarily reach the levels of complexity that you might like. What we need to do next is go through and state all the elements of the wine that we experience. And then I'll get to my review. So let's do that.
What about my review?
Okay, okay. That's a good point. I thought you had done it, but you talked all that time and never gave it a score. So let's go through the the elements of that one. You talked a lot. I mean, it's like whatever. Let's go through the one. I'm going to start because I like to start.
Okay. So loud.
Rose water. No. Cassis.
Okay. Blueberry.
Well, aside from the cassis is licorice, because there's a licorice residue that comes through.
Mm-hmm.
Black licorice, mind you.
Vanilla.
There is. There's the baker's chocolate that we talked about.
Mm-hmm. So I think that there is vanilla and I think there's oaking. I know the vanilla is from the oak, but in my mind, they're two separate tastes in this wine. So I'm going to also say the oak.
Rhubarb, which doesn't go with any of the other things, but it comes through the savory. It's not stemmy, but it's almost, it's there with the cassis. You taste a little bit of a, it's not medicinal, but it's almost a red sweetness that's right there. And I'm trying to place it. It's not cherry because it's a little bit too, well, it's slightly stemmy in a certain sense, but there's so much other going around it. It kind of envelops it. And that comes across as rhubarb to me. Mm. You like them apples.
I am kind of going through some other categories. I don't really taste any vegetal. Oh. I'm not getting any minerality in it. I was kind of looking around for something maybe slate-ish, but I don't know that I see it. Maybe if I'm, I don't know. I'm looking for it. I'm not seeing it.
There's a little bit of marjoram from the herbaceousness. Oh, yes.
My God, you're so annoying.
There is a little bit. I mean, the overall essence, a little marjoram, oregano, some hybrid between those two. Not thyme.
The other thing I would say would be like the forest-y.
Did you write that down?
What, marjoram?
Well, marjoram. It is marjoram. It's just...
I put Rob's BS.
It's not. The okay. problem is...
So I put forest. It is.
It's more on it's the nose, there. But... Thing about marjoram, what? It also, when you taste marjoram, it also emulate. There's a lot of fruits that also kind of emulate that. So you're like, okay, marjoram, yes, but that's also a portion of what you already said, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. It's just taking it to the next level. Mm. Don't be a hater.
Do you taste the charcoal?
Do you get anything slate or anything like that? I can't.
It's not. There isn't a minerality per se because that would peak in on the mid palate and it's not there.
Yeah.
I'm sure Scott would find it. It's minerality.
He loves minerality. So, question. I would say in a red wine, my favorite quality is tannins. Second would be like black pepper. Would probably be my second.
True.
Scott's is for sure minerality.
It is.
What's yours?
That's an excellent question.
When I read a review and it says strong tannic backbone or something like that, I'm like, oh, I can't wait to try this. What does that for you?
There isn't one thing. Mm-hmm. Cassis. I enjoy cassis. Some wines are a nice little bacon fat.
Yeah.
But probably cassis.
You're a pretty big tobacco box fan. You'd like that.
I mean, cigar box, tobacco. I can. I would take tobacco over minerality. Some people can go awry, but.
Minerality doesn't do a lot for me.
Well, it just depends on what you're drinking it in. Sometimes minerality can come across in a leaner wine. You're like, eh. Normally, wines that are tobacco laden aren't as lean. So, and they're normally Spanish. Ooh. My mother just texted me. There's a pink moon now.
I know. We'll have to go see it.
Either it's a pink moon or my mother is once again engaging in the use of mescaline.
Stop. So.
It's a pink moon.
I'm ready to review this wine.
Are
and
you?
To rate this wine.
Mm.
All of the things that we said, especially the comfort piece of this wine, really, really a fan, especially drinking it. During this time in our lives where we are, you know, staying safe at home. I feel when I said originally I would give this somewhere an 88 to a 92, I feel like just based off of where it's from and the wine house before we even tasted it or anything. I feel like I would maybe just narrow that gap a little bit more, like 88 to 91, and I would give this a 90.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's very, very good. I would recommend this wine all the time. I do think it belongs in the Wall of Fame. Mm. And I just want to encourage you, if you are getting into wine, if you are branching out into cabs, this is truly such a great expression of a cab, and particularly, as Rob mentioned earlier, an Alexander Valley cab. It just really and truly sets the standard for other cabs. And I think that that is something to be very, very proud of. It is very good.
Well, let me say this. I have had a lot of Cabernet, a lot of wine.
Today and other days.
Yes. I might be a bit of a drunk. But nevertheless, there's a reason why we do this show, because we know a little bit about what we're talking about. And we've had multiple different versions of basically this wine on the show and otherwise. And I can say that most generally speaking, Alexander Valley Cabernets, the one quality that they all share is that kind of hard to quantify comfort food level. I'm not saying Silver Oak is like that, but these ones that are 50 and under, they just have a wholesomeness to them in reality. That's the better term, wholesomeness.
Yep.
And
it's a complete cab.
Partly because they taste like Cabernet of yore. So much stuff today is homogenized. You know, you have a California blend. What the fuck is that? Where shit is just a fruit bomb with purple death and dipshit, you know, oak. Sometimes I'm talking about Bonanza.
Sometimes we have cabs that they've just slammed everything together.
Oh, yeah. And you can taste that. Mm-hmm. And so they use oak and other additives to try to hide the flaws. And all I do is get a red face because of fucking sulfites and bullshit stuff that's in it. You know, wines like this don't do that. They're not trying to do that. They're traditionally made.
Yep.
They're from an AVA specific. They're higher quality, and you can taste that. It's just like in anything. Folks, it doesn't matter if you drive, if you like nice cars or if you like nice TVs, although I don't know what that would do, but or anything that you know you have a affinity for something that's higher quality. So shittier things just won't do. You can tell a knockoff. Mm-hmm. And there are so many things out there that would purport to be a wine like this that just aren't. You see them in your grocery stores.
Being authentic.
Well, it's authentic, yeah.
Alexander cab.
Well, yes. I mean, even the AVA is there. But if you have tried Cabernet and don't like it because you tried something like Bonanza. I know the Triple B is a big fan of Bonanza. She's okay. Number one fan. She loves it. It's on the show. You can check it out. Bonanza's dog shit. This wine is what Bonanza thinks it might be.
Oh.
It does. It thinks it's a quality Cabernet. When it's not, it's shit. Because it doesn't really show any varietal character. This wine is typical of the Alexander Valley. Now, what does that mean? Normally you say, well, it shows in varietal character. Rob, you've said before on the show that means it's an 85. No. If it shows it has varietal character of California, it might be an 85. If I know it's Cabernet. But if I know it's a Cabernet from Alexander Valley, that's just that just bumps it up points higher already.
Yep.
Because that's a higher cut. Now, putting it past that, what does this wine do? The mouthfeel is very good. The tannin structure is very good. The fruit structure is well balanced. The wine is well proportioned. It does have ageability. This is 2012. It's 8 years old. It's not really showing signs of age today at all. Mm-mm. It would go to 2026. It probably would go to 2030. All very impressive for the price point. The Spectator.
You could have this with anything. You could take this somewhere.
Oh, sure you could.
You could gift this to someone.
Sure you could.
And it would be very, very nice.
Yes. And this goes, and honestly, vintage variation for Ferrari Carano is very minimal.
Right.
They have, in recent years, I'm talking 12 on, you're
that's
not.
That's something to be, that's an accomplishment.
What's something it to be proud of for Ferrari Carano? And that's really, that goes for all of their wines.
Yeah.
I've never had their Zin. I would like to. But haven't had their Pinot yet, plan to. Mm-hmm. But they just make good wine. It might not be something that is going to go get a 95 in the Spectator, whatever. But it's going to get 90s, it's going to get 91, it's going to get 89s, and therein lies the wines that you're going to enjoy consistently, because you can find them. That's the important part. You can find this wine, and they sell it everywhere, and you're going to like it. It's good enough for a Tuesday night, and it's good enough for a special occasion. It's also good enough for the Wine Vault Hall of Fame, because I'm giving it 91 of my points.
Ooh.
That's a soft 91. It's an 89 to 91, top of the mark. But I'm also going to give it some credit because I love this winery, and I'm still trying to atone for not putting their Merlot in the Hall of Fame. I have not yet done that. Scott and I both give it 89s, and we don't know why, because we loved that wine. Good job, Friar Carano. You deserve it. Your winery we love. You have an Art Deco label, which Scott debates is not Art Deco, but I feel it is Art Deco. And I like the label. I like the winery. It's great. So, folks, I hope all of you are doing well out there. I hope you're enjoying yourselves as best you can, because this is a trying time. It's a more serious part of the wine bowl. I'm not saying slap dick and other things like that right now. And, you know, we all have to get through this together. I'm sure you're hearing this and that. You're hearing Becky's cell phone causing interference right now as I speak, which is probably very comforting for you if you like Japanese anime. And some...
Why would I change now?
That's so fucking annoying. Mm-hmm. And you might say, why does Becky's phone do that and yours don't? Well, first of all, I don't have my cell phone. I'm not on my cell phone like I'm 14 playing Bejeweled Blitz or whatever the fuck you're doing. Also, Becky has an older generation mic that doesn't have the shielding that Scott and I's mic have. So,
yep, just add it to the list.
You know, that's why. And Becky won't let us buy her a mic. So we've offered. And you say, I like my mic. I want to keep it. So we maintain that. Although her mic, I bought that many years ago, it's more expensive. But
and now that I adjusted it, it's way better.
Well, it has better sound quality. It's just
because you and Scott set it up to your mouths, not to mine.
I don't know if to your mouths is the proper English, but
to
whatever.
To each of your own mouths.
Once again, you didn't improve it. I understand what you mean. Uh-huh. Then again, I understand what a lot of people mean. That
we thank you all so much for listening. We've had a great time tonight.
We have, and now I'm going to go into another soliloquy, which Trouble loves.
Okay, I'm going to go look at the pink moon.
Yes. And so, you know, while Becky has been sitting here, she's been drawing her name.
On repeat.
On repeat. And she likes to, like, make it in big block letters, and she likes to ink in. Yeah. Because
I love doing that. I love writing my name, too. Also, I think my name's really pretty in cursive.
Yeah. Folks, I'm a serious person. Serious emotions. I'm not saying that I find that banal, but wow.
What?
It's impressive.
What?
All I'm saying is at least Becky didn't shave her head with a mustache trimmer.
Oh my God.
So.
I'm leaving that here.
And by the way, I have a mustache trimmer, and it's never occurred to me to try to shave my head with it. You know what I do with it? I trim my mustache. Well, I have a beard, but I trim facial hair with that, not your hair. But that's okay. So, for Rob the Wine Guy, not Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, but the Triple B, we are going to bid you adieu and see you next time on the Wine Vault. Stay safe, and we love you out there. Good night.